Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
We're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What is the biggest, most unexpected landslide in sports and or Houston sports history? 713-780-3776. I always go back to Buster Douglas beating Mike Tyson.
That's a good
one. Was that a landslide, though? Like, that was a close fight. It's just that Buster Douglas was this huge underdog. Was it 36-1 underdog against Mike Tyson? So, like, that one maybe wasn't the landslide we're looking for. If I'm looking at it from a Houston sports perspective, like, I think the Mavs beating the Rockets in that Game 7 by 40. Like, I expected that to be a close game, then all of a sudden the Mavs win in Game 7 by 40 points. That was an unexpected landslide for me.
Like, to me, the first thing that came to mind was the 95 finals. The fact that you were playing an Orlando team that was really, really good, and it was supposed to be a knockdown, dragout series, and you just blew their doors off and swept them after after Nick Anderson missed the free throws in game one. Like, especially after game one, even if you didn't think so going in, game one happens and you're like, this is going to be a hell of a series. This is going to be unbelievable. And then they swept them.
Which one was Nick the Brick? Was that game one or game two?
Game one.
Okay, I couldn't remember if it was one or two. I knew it was in Orlando. That's a great call. That might be the answer in Houston sports because that was going to be like this tight, contested series. You had Shaq and Penny, and they were like, this upstart franchise in the NBA. And the Rockets kind of limped into the playoffs that year. Like, comfortably made the
60. That's the lowest seed ever.
Yeah. That's a great call. And then you swept them.
And the unbelievable story was they get the game one win. And when you kind of had a chance to sit back and digest it, we were saying, like, Nick Anderson should make the free throws. They got lucky at the end. Dream got the tip to win the game. And it shoot around for game two. The guys were way too loose. They were screwing around. They were farting around. And Rudy called them all in a circle.
Popcorn farts, probably.
And Rudy opened up a can that no one had heard from Rudy with cuss words and everything. And he goes, you guys keep this attitude tonight and don't realize how effing lucky you were in game one. You're going to get your ass kicked all over the floor tonight. And you guys are going to absolutely be an embarrassment. And they won by 20. And we were like, oh my goodness, did he do a job there?
Rudy got into him.
He did.
Biggest, most unexpected landslide in sports in Houston sports history. I think you can go to Houston Cougar basketball last year in the Big 12. How many people thought the Houston Cougars were going to run through the Big 12 and win the Big 12 in year one and then win it by multiple games? Not many.
No,
nobody.
That was supposed to be the unbelievable best basketball conference in the country and a grind.
And it is.
And to like have to fight and claw and scratch to be in your first year in that league. You were supposed to be competitive. You weren't supposed to do what they did and just absolutely, win the whole thing.
SMU's kind of doing it in football this year with the ACC.
Yeah, a little bit.
They haven't lost a game in the ACC yet. I hope they get to the championship game against Miami. That would be awesome. 8-7-5-5-17 Astros going against the giant Dodgers. Astros were underdogs. You could even go that entire postseason. Now, the Astros were really good that year, but the Astros beat like the who's who of these elitist baseball organizations. Remember, they beat the Red Sox in the divisional series, then you beat the Yankees in the ALCS, and then you beat the Dodgers in the World Series. So the gauntlet of beating like Major League Baseball's darlings, it's a good call.
There is there's no landslide. I mean,
it wasn't
unexpected because other than the Red Sox series, every game went the distance, or every series went the distance. So, yeah, the landslide part it falls short on, but certainly the unexpected part.
Yeah, it's half of it. What comes to mind for you, Brian?
The difficulty I'm finding is finding both the unexpected and the landslide. But one thing that comes to mind was the Super Bowl in 2014 when it was Broncos Seahawks. And I think a lot of people thought the Broncos with Peyton Manning, the record-setting year, were not only going to win the game but probably win comfortable. And the Seahawks beat them like 43-8.
Yeah.
Just an absolute
beatdown.
It
was an ass-kicking, yeah.
Yeah, absolute beatdown.
I think that would qualify for sure. Like, yeah. That one's up there. Like, the one that I thought of in the Super Bowl, I don't think that it was unexpected. Remember when the Niners crushed the Chargers?
Sure.
I just looked it up. 49-26.
Steve Young, but it was 6 TDs, I think.
Yeah, but everybody expected the Niners
to
roll.
They were big favorites,
so it wouldn't hit the qualification of the unexpected. Everybody expected that one. 713-780-ESPN. How about the Tigers sweeping the Astros recently?
It's a good
in
one.
The wild card. That was only two games.
Qualifies.
But they swept you. You didn't win a game. They beat you in your own home ballpark.
Yeah, the only problem is that a lot of people thought the Tigers were the hot team coming in, so they had a chance. There were some people that were predicting it. But, yeah, for sure, I don't think we all had them getting swept.
Yeah. 6860, does the Chiefs being down 24-0 coming back to beat the Texans count? I think that it counts for the Texans getting up 24-0. It's just that you couldn't follow through. You couldn't finish the deal. You were on your way to this unexpected landslide, but you blew it.
I got one for you. How about, and this is probably you're going to get ageist on me, but when Georgetown was the heavy favorite against Villanova and they went four corners and they basically, Raleigh Massimino coached that team and they just absolutely took the air out of the basketball and beat the heavily, heavily favored Hoyas.
What was the score in that one, though? Was it a landslide? I don't remember the score.
I don't know the final score, but they were given.
It was a two-point game.
They were given no chance to win and they just basically took them out of everything that they do, slowed it down, four-cornered it, and ended up winning.
They were an 8 seed or a 9 seed? I think they were an 8.
I don't know if they were even that high, but they had a decent team. They had Ed Pinckney. They had some guys that played in the league, but no one that was like a star.
Yeah. It wouldn't be a landslide, but it certainly was unexpected. 713-780-3776. With George Foreman's title chase and then winning the title, and it was in his 40s, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was in his 40s certainly when he won the heavyweight title again. Yeah.
Would that count?
Yeah,
knocking out Michael Moore, just the whole run though.
Yeah, the whole run. I would put that there.
I mean, who expected George Foreman looking like that at the age of 40, coming back from selling grills and doing a little preaching to win the heavyweight championship of the world?
Yeah, that was not big. That's
one of the greatest comeback stories of all time, by the way. An underrated one of the best comeback stories that has ever happened in sports history.
I would agree with that. Yep. Yeah, there's no doubt that you don't see that happen. I mean, the guys come back, they could be okay. We saw Jordan in his 40s, you know, with the Wizards, where he had big games, but he wasn't even close to the same player.
Yep.
He won the whole damn thing.
The 1-2-3 kid rolling up Razor Ramon. Pretty unexpected.
Thank you for that. Thank
landslide.
For that. It was.
I mean, I think that
it
that's
wasn't
up there.
A landslide,
there.
Though, because it was just the moon.
Pretty quick.
The quick moonsault and the quick pin, and he didn't landslide him. Shout out to Scott Hall for doing the job that night.
Oso says the 2024 NFL draft, Texans cleaned up. I don't know if that was. It certainly was unexpected. He said 24. I think he means 23. I think he's talking about the 23 draft.
Is that the CJ?
I think he means
Will?
Stroud Anderson. The Texans in 24, like they didn't have a first round draft pick. They didn't. I mean, unless he just thinks highly of Lassiter and Bullock and Blake Fisher, who hasn't done anything yet, he's got to be talking about the 23 draft.
Probably
that was certainly unexpected, but was it a landslide? I wouldn't say that the return that you got was a landslide, especially if Will Anderson's ankles are problematic. Three major ankle injuries in less than 12 months.
Yeah, you know, and I know that one's going to be an issue. Is the Cougars lost to NC State?
See, it wasn't. I mean, that's obviously a heartbreaker, and it was very unexpected.
The Cougars were heavily favored, right?
But it wasn't. It wasn't a landslide. They won the game by what, one or two?
No,
two.
They won by two. The final score wasn't a landslide. It was just they were completely outmatched. They weren't supposed to, from a
no chance.
They weren't supposed to win.
I don't know what the spread was in that game, but I imagine it was probably high single digits, maybe up to double figures. Now, people did know that NC State was going to slow the game down, so maybe that kind of shrunk the spread. I'll have to look up what the spread was in that game. But it wasn't a landslide. Like, they won the game at the buzzer.
Right.
So, like, it wasn't this huge blowout. Like, what the Oilers did the Bills in the first half in 91, that was a pretty big unexpected landslide. You go on the road, you're beating the Bills, who had this run of Super Bowl appearances. But then we saw the second half. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What are the biggest, most unexpected landslides in sports and Houston sports history? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from MyBookie.ag. MyBookie.ag, place you want to be if you want to put money down on sports. I tell you about them all the time because they're always taking care of their customers, and they're the best place to go to because they take care of your money, and they make sure that you're happy whenever you are there. That means that whether you're winning or losing, they're trying to give you opportunities to put more money in your account, to have more money to bet on games, and to have more chances you can win. They do a lot of those things with their loyalty program, which is MyBookie Plus, where once you get signed up, they start charting and keeping track of every time that you're placing bets. The more you bet, the more tiers you go up in the loyalty rewards program, the better rewards you receive. It's phenomenal. They have live dealers standing by if you want to play casino games as well, because of the fact that sometimes you just don't feel like betting on games, but you like to play cards and you like poker and you like blackjack, and the dealers are there to make sure they take care of you. And the main thing they do is when you're betting on sports, they try to give you opportunities so that you can have as much of a chance to play as you possibly can. That means right now they're doing it again with another sign-up bonus. Up to $1,000, they'll match what you put in on your first deposit. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag and use our promo code BET975 and then put money into your account. Whatever you put in, they'll put in up to $1,000. Suddenly, you'll find out almost instantly what you put in and what they put in means you have more money in your account, more games you can bet on, and more chances you can win. All you got to do is remember our promo code BET975. Use it anytime and all the time. Whenever they ask for it, you can put it in, and you can bet you're probably going to get some kind of a bonus or reward. It's phenomenal. You sign up friends, you get a bonus or a reward. Use our promo code. You actually sign up for the first time, or you reload your bonus. Now you reload your account and you put in the promo code. You're going to get more. Check them out today. Get more and absolutely have fun while you're playing and betting on games and or poker and or blackjack. Go to mybookie.ag. Do what I always tell you to do. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What are the biggest, most unexpected landslides in sports history? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Oso says Tiger at his first Masters has to be up there. Now, Tiger's, it wasn't the blowout, though, in the first one, was it? I thought he won his first one by, like...
The one at Pebble, he won like from the largest margin.
The Masters.
The one he won at Pebble.
That wasn't the Masters.
Oh, no, not the Masters. I'm talking about, no. You know what he might be referring to? His first major, the U.S. Open. It was either U.S. Open or the PGA at Pebble when he won by like 20-some.
Well, there was one major he won by 15 strokes.
I thought that was the Masters, but I don't think it was his first one.
It's either Torrey or Pebble. I want to say Pebble, where he won by just 10 or more strokes. Like, he just ran away. That's what I thought. I think
it happened in multiple occasions. His first major for Tiger Woods was the ninth. Oh, it was. Dang. He won the 97 Masters, his first ever major championship, by 9 shots. Yeah, he won by 12 shots.
That would qualify.
I thought it was like his. I thought it was his second Masters. I'm wrong. I can't believe that. His first ever major championship was the 97 Masters, and he won by 12 strokes.
Yeah, what? The one I'm remembering was the 2000 U.S. Open. He won it by 15 strokes.
15 is the one I believe was at Pebble.
But he was obviously, I mean, I don't know how well established he was.
Well, if it's his third major.
That's his third major.
He was pretty established.
I don't know how big of a surprise it was by that point. Yeah. But still, winning by 15
strokes.
But
if you win the Masters.
Now, he was a hot shot coming out. Everybody expected him to be a multiple-time major champion. I think he won two U.S. AMs.
Yeah, he won the AM a couple of times. He came out. Remember, he declared right after that, and his first pro tournament was in Milwaukee. And right away, I think he finished in the top 20 or 25 in his first tournament.
That's insane. I thought it was his second Masters win. I always thought it was his second Masters win.
That's the one where Earl was waiting for him at the end on the 18th green.
Yeah. So, I mean, 15 was his biggest major championship win, but it was also his third major. So I wouldn't say that was unexpected. I mean, 15 strokes is unexpected.
Yeah, it's massive.
But I would,
and that was
I would go
Pebble Beach, by the way, Joel. Yeah. That was what you're thinking
of. That's what I was thinking.
I would go 97 Masters over the 2000 U.S. Open, though. First major, 12 strokes over third major, 15 strokes.
There's plenty of hot shots that come out and they can even win a tournament. But if you win a major like that and you win it by double digits, that's pretty impressive.
He won the British Open that same year by 8 strokes.
Good Lord, man.
I think that was the Tiger Slam.
Was that the Tiger Slam?
Yeah, 99
US Open
PGA.
Was the first of 4 in a row.
Over a span of 2 seasons.
Yeah, not the same calendar year. Right, but 4 straight majors. The U.S. Open in 2000 was the first one.
Was it not 5 in a row?
I think it was 4 in a row, but or at least 4.
Regardless,
maybe
it was the Tiger
more.
Slam.
He won the 99 PGA, and that's back when the PGA, I believe, was the final major of the year. So if he won the 99 PGA, well, he lost the 2000 Masters. Never mind. So he won the 2000 Open, 2000 Open Championship, the British Open, 2000 PGA, 2001 Masters. So that was the run of four in a row. What a sicko. 12 strokes in your first major?
That's the only time that you could say he was like underdog status, where he would come in and
yeah, probably.
Won, yeah, and hadn't won a major before and then dust the entire field. We got used to him dusting the field, but not in your first ever, like, I think that was his first Masters as a professional.
No, yeah, maybe as a pro.
Right,
like, I remember
he played
him playing
as an amateur.
I remember him playing as an amateur, and I was like, because everybody was talking him up as an amateur, this is the next hot shot in golf, and like watching that, I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to remember who Tiger Woods is, and let's see if he turns out to be any good. And then he turned out to be pretty stinking good. No. I would imagine that he was not favored to win the 97 Masters, but I imagine he was favored to win every major after the 97 Masters.
That had to be the only time that he would have been, you know, an underdog. And then not only are you an underdog, but you dust the field like that.
Yeah.
That had to be the only time in his career.
It had to be the only time he wasn't favored to win a major until, like, you know, his whole debacle
where
he started to fade away. Yeah, I would imagine he was not the favorite in the 97 Masters, but the favorite after. That's a good call. I didn't realize he won that by 12. That's insane. First ever major. As always, the miracle. Did they win that game by or that match by a lot? I don't remember.
Remember they had to win one after they beat the Russians. They still had to win another.
Yeah, that was
another
semifinal against
another
the Russians.
Game.
I think they beat Switzerland. Maybe.
I think that sounds
but
right.
But did they beat Russia badly though?
I don't think they beat them badly.
I thought it was
at all.
A close match.
I think it was very close in the
like
third period.
Like a 1-2 goal victory for the U.S. of A.
Because Ruzioni or someone, they needed that goal, so it was tight.
Yeah, I don't remember him. I remember Herb
Brooks. Michael Ruzioni was the captain.
You remember my favorite moment of the movie is when he had him, you know, skating the lines and stuff. Who do you play for? And they're all saying, Minnesota, Wisconsin, all this stuff. And then finally, I play for the USA. And then everybody, hey, what a great moment in that movie. That's all I remember from that movie. 713-780-ESPN. Uncle Barney said that Tiger, not only that the one that he won, you know, the Masters, the first one that he won by 12 shots, he said he shot a 40 on the front nine.
Of the first round of the tournament?
You say he shot a 40 on the first nine of the 97 Masters.
Oh my
so he
God.
Shot a 40 on the front nine and then won by 12.
That's ridiculous.
Isn't it ridiculous?
Yes.
2005 World Series, the one where the White Sox swept the Astros. That was I guess that would count. Biggest
closest,
most expected landslide. It
that was the closest sweep in baseball history.
Still a sweep, so it's probably a landslide, right?
Yeah.
That still count, even though it was a close sweep. It was still a landslide
what was
because
14
they swept
innings.
Them.
The one here
was it that long? I thought it was like 12.
Was that the Blummer home run?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Sednik hit the walk off in game one or game two in Chicago.
In Chicago, but I think that it was 14 innings here because I was there. It was freezing.
19 Astros, best Astros roster in franchise history, losing to a Nationals team that barely made the playoffs, got hot at the right time. Yes, but went 7. Probably not a landslide. Unexpected, but not a landslide. 3-4-2-6. Yeah, that's the reason we're having this conversation. A miracle on ice. John Daly, U.S. Open. John Daly didn't win a U.S. Open, did he? I thought he only won the PGA.
He won a British and a PGA, didn't he?
Did he win two? I thought he only won one.
I think he's won two majors.
Okay.
But the first one that he won, no one saw coming.
Yeah,
for
he was
sure.
kind of like rolling out of bed.
Right. Yeah, he was kind of like at a truck stop kind of guy, and then all of a sudden he wins a major.
What a career John Daly has had.
One of the nicest dudes on the planet, but yeah, he's had a lot of demons.
Yeah, he won the PGA in 91, and then he won the Open in 95.
Yeah, there you go.
I think the PGA is the one that...
PGA was his first one, yep.
That was only... That was only the third major he'd ever played in, too. He missed the cut in the 86 U.S. Open. He tied for 69th in the 89 U.S. Open. Didn't play in a major in 90. Only played the PGA Championship in 91 and won it. The guy is so up and down, John Daly. 713-780-ESPN. Not sure if you already mentioned it, but the Giants beating the Patriots in the Super Bowl the year they went undefeated. Unexpected, but not a landslide.
No.
That was a very close game. David Tyree catch.
The
what
catch
I
off the helmet,
there.
Yeah.
That was insane. 2787, Akeem absolutely owned Shaq in that series that you were referencing earlier. Houston beating Florida State convincingly in the Peach Bowl. Good call. Good call. That team had they had Dalvin Cook at running back. He tapped out. He had enough of the Houston Cougars. And they had, I'm blanking on the name, the corner for Miami that's been around. Jacksonville to the Rams, now Miami. Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey's a Florida State guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And who was the quarterback?
Yeah, they didn't have a very good quarterback.
Okay.
And he got hurt pretty early in the game. Cougars hurt him. They hurt him. He was tapping out. Monday night in Dome at Katrina for the Saints. That's a good call.
Yeah.
Like that. I remember watching
Falcons?
That. Yeah, I believe so.
I think so.
Yeah, that was I remember watching that, just the emotion in that
game.
Oh,
for sure.
Like, you can't really match that. That was nuts. 90s Bills, whenever the Cowboys beat them 52-17. I don't remember the spread in that game, but I imagine the Cowboys were probably favored.
Cowboys, right? Had the big three. They were, yeah, I think that they weren't good. That wasn't going to be a landslide favor for them.
8576, Wilder Fury 2. After the first good fight, Tyson Fury put the beat down on Wilder. I watched this. There's a show called Traitors. It's a like reality television show that my wife forces me to watch. Yes, she forces me. Mm-hmm. Deontay Wilder was on it, and Deontay Wilder was so upset about one person being voted off the show that he had to quit because he was so like emotional about it. It's like, it's a game show, man. Like,
really?
It was really weird. I was like, that guy needs some help. He needs some therapy.
Wow.
Maybe he's got it. Like, it was odd. Like, he just left it. Like, and there wasn't any like scenes of it. It was that person got voted off the show. He was so devastated by that person getting voted off the show because he was pretty vocal about, like, you know, that person was the traitor. They weren't the traitor. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, the next day, like, Deontay Wilder had to leave the show.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he was like, incredibly.
Would they make some kind of announcement like on the screen or something?
No, the host said it. Oh. Like, Deontay had to leave the show for personal reasons. Yeah, wow. It was weird. It was pretty crazy. The 60 World Series, you might remember this one, Blinkers. The Pirates defeat the Yankees 4-3 on the Bill Mazeroski home run. That wouldn't be a landslide.
No.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a landslide. Tiger wasn't Tiger yet. All the other pros were shocked at the Masters going, who is this kid really? Yeah, really. But a lot of people knew who Tiger was. Like, they knew
he was
the cover,
child prodigy
that
everybody was talking about. From Stanford to the USAMs to everything, they knew he was going to be – he was rumored to be the next, you know, big deal in golf.
3-2-0-9, Boise State Tostitos Bowl win. Problem with that is it wasn't a blowout. They had a –
That was the Statue of Liberty, and then he proposed in the end zone?
Yeah. Was him brought –
Johnson?
Johnson was the running back.
Right.
The quarterback, I think, started with a Z, right? Was this like, it wasn't
Jordan
something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
I knew the punter on that team.
Was it Jordan Zimbrano?
I want to say it was Zambrowski.
Maybe. One of them played for the Texans. One of the Boise State quarterbacks that was pretty good was on the Texans roster for a year or two.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember him. Kyle Stringer was the punter on that Boise State football team. Went to high school with Kyle Stringer. 713-780-ESPN. UMBC upset Virginia by 20.
Yeah.
Was that the...
That was the 116 matchup.
They beat them by 20?
It was pretty bad.
That might be the answer.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Because there's only been one 16 seed to ever beat a 1 seed in men's basketball history. It's happened on the women's side, I think, once or twice. But I didn't realize it was a 20-point game.
It was the Maryland-Baltimore County win for sure, and I want to say they blitzed them pretty good.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That might be the answer nationally. I like your answer with the Houston Rockets over the Magic in 4. Uncle Barney said that John Daly, when he won the PGA, was the 9th alternate. How do you get in for being the 9th alternate? Like, how many people had to get food poisoning to drop out?
Were you injury withdrawing and travel problems?
9th alternate? Like, that, I don't feel like that happens anymore, right? Like, maybe like the first two, maybe first
two
three.
To three at
and
best.
A major, too.
Right.
Because, like, guys, like, if
everybody
it's,
wants to play on.
If it's the John Deere Classic, like, people, whatever, I have a sprained wrist. I'm just going to sit this weekend out. But a major, and you get to the 9th alternate, and then the 9th alternate goes off and wins the darn thing?
We were close. Jared Zabransky.
Zabransky. Yeah. We got the first name right?
Yeah, we got the first name right, and then you had...
We had the first two letters.
And you had the ski part of the second right name right.
What was it again?
Zabransky.
Zabransky. Yeah, I remember what he looks like.
He had the Z, too.
Yeah. Wore 15, kind of looked like he kind of squatted down to throw. He looked a little bit like Jeff Garcia, I remember, like his slender and how he threw.
Because there he is right
yeah,
there.
I want to say right like hair, his throwing yeah. motion, too. It reminded me a lot of Garcia. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Who is worst at adjusting in-game, D'Amico Ryans or Bobby Slowick? Also, this Christian Harris news is weird. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word for all the different ways that you can get the unbelievable Stella Rosa wines into your party atmosphere. If you're having people over to the house, we know you're going to serve great food. You're going to serve the wings and the pizza and the chips and the dips and all the great foods that make a great party. But a lot of times with the beverages, you may stick to just beer and hard liquor. Give your guests a little bit of an extra alternative with some Stella Rosa wines. They're perfect. They're semi-sweet, semi-sparkling wine with all natural fruit flavors with a little spice to them that go perfectly with no matter what you're serving from a food perspective. All your favorite game day foods are going to go well with Stella Rosa wines, and they have just the right amount of alcohol. Not too much, not too little, so you don't have to pace yourself because the drinks will actually do a lot of pacing for you, and they are delicious. You serve them chilled. They're refreshing. They taste great while you're watching the game. games, no matter how many games there might be. And right now, Stella Rosa Wines is also offering you a chance to get tickets to the biggest college football game of the season. All you got to do is go to ESPNLADreamTicket.com and register for your chance to win. And whether you go to the game or not, win the tickets or not, when you have your next gathering, consider serving some Stella Rosa Wines with all the other drinks that you're serving. They're found at your local retailers, and they are absolutely delightful to drink. Served chilled, remember to enjoy them that way, but also remember to please celebrate responsibly.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
0892 says the average Joes versus Globo Gym in the National Dodgeball Tournament. Four man versus one. That was a great comeback. It's a great call. 0892.
Damn right. Can't forget the Jamaican bobsled team from Cool Runnings. Although they didn't win, they didn't win a medal. Still,
great story.
Very
just
inspirational.
Yeah. Don't worry if you don't get any further than that. How about the career of Jason Bateman? He's playing Cotton, and then he's... Like, now he's the star of Ozark.
He's the star of Arrested Development. He was the star in Ozark.
Arrested Development, probably not the fame of one Ozark.
No, definitely not. But it was a cult favorite.
Yeah, I've watched it. I watched it after the fact. It's
what was
hilarious.
His first show?
He was as a kid.
Yeah, I was going to say he was a kid. He was like the next Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it. I think he fell into drugs, didn't he? I think he got into some hard times.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Now they say that, like, he doesn't, he has to go to bed at a certain time, and he's like a homebody to where, like, that his acting schedule, whatever. What's the guy that's on with Lance all the time that's an actor? Talks about the fact that when they've been on the same show, that he has to have his shoots at certain times because he goes to bed early. And
I did hear about that with Bateman. Like, he doesn't do it at night or something. And, like, you don't ask him to do things either unless he's going to be there for a while.
Yes.
Yeah, I did hear that.
He's very quirky about that stuff.
I've actually listened to his podcast a few times, the Smartless one. My wife enjoys it, so sometimes if we're in the car for a ride, we'll listen to Smartless. He's had some good – they have good guests because, I mean,
they're in Hollywood. Pretty...
There was one with Larry David the other day. So funny.
He's always been a good actor. I enjoyed watching him.
No, he is a good actor. He's just always the same. Like, he's very deadpan, dry. He was part of one of the producers for Ozark?
His sister was
one of the writers
in the Michael J. Fox series, the Family Ties.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Justine Bateman is his sister, who was the sister on Family Ties.
Yeah, I like Bateman. He's had some good roles.
I do. I like him, too. He's a big sports fan.
Yeah, he likes the Dodgers, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, somebody said it was his sister that was into drugs, not him. Okay.
That's the one from Family Ties.
And then he got, like, in a wreck, too, like, doing some, like, go-kart racing. But, like, apparently he was pretty...
Are we sure? Are we sure that's not his sister?
No, I'm pretty sure it was him. I think I've heard him talk about it. Yeah, he's a good golfer, too.
Yes.
He has, like, a single-digit handicap.
Yeah, he plays a lot at one of the big L.A. country clubs.
I think it was where they had the U.S. No, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. Remember they had the U.S. Open at, like, the L.A. country club or whatever?
Yeah, it was either,
I don't think it was that
it's
one,
either,
though.
I think it's Riviera. But I think that he's a member at Riviera. But yeah, Riviera and L.A. Country Club and all those ritzy ones.
Honey Glaze Branham says Jared from Subway. No one saw that coming. It was a landslide to his career. Come on, Honey Glaze Branham. Have a heart. There's been two 16 seeds that have beaten the one. I forgot the other one. It happened the very next year. UMBC beat Virginia by 20, and then the very next year it happened again. Do you remember who it happened to? 16 beating a one. Happened back-to-back years.
Who the one was?
Or either one. One or the 16.
Was Kentucky?
No. I remember it vividly now. It did escape my mind. But 338 corrected me. Thank you for that. No.
Oh, well, the win was Purdue.
It was.
The one was Purdue.
It was Edie's junior year?
I think, Edie was definitely on the team.
Edie, that was Edie's second to last year.
He's playing some ball in the NBA, too. Yeah. I didn't see that coming.
He's a little better than people give him credit for. All right, so I did some digging. Yesterday we were talking about who is worst at adjusting in-game, DeMeco Ryans or Bobby Slowik. Who do we think is the worst adjuster between the two? Who's worse between the two? DeMeco Ryans or Bobby Slowik? 713-780-ESPN HRMP listener line. Who is the worst in-game adjuster between the two? So I did some numbers on this one, Blankers. Okay. I went and I did the legwork on this one after we talked about it yesterday. We know that the Houston Texans have a point margin of one on the year. They're plus one, which is cool. They're better than it's better than being negative. And we're talking yesterday, like, who is what's the reason why, all of that stuff. Texans as a team are plus 41 in the first half, and they're minus 40 in the second half. Mm-hmm. First half offense, the Houston Texans have scored 119 points. Their second half offense, they've scored 82 points. So it's a 37-point margin. All right, so keep that number in mind, 37-point margin. Defensively, they've given up 78 points in the first half. They've given up 122 in the second half, which is a negative margin of 44. Mm. So by the numbers, D'Amico Ryans is minus 44 from first half to second half, and Bobby Slowick is minus 37 from first half to second half. Neither number is good, and it's pretty dang close. But by the numbers, D'Amico's worse at in-game adjusting than Bobby Slowick.
And I just don't have that feeling, that sense, just from watching the games. I feel like they become real inept offensively. But maybe to your point, the offenses also adjust, the defense doesn't, and then they're able to get more that they weren't able to get in the first half. So, yeah, it just, to me, my quick answer was going to be that Bobby Slowick does a much poorer job of making adjustments or not making adjustments, which we've highlighted, then I would think that it would be D'Amico, because the defense has been the calling card all season long, but the numbers seem to indicate otherwise.
I don't love really being binary about it either, too, because like the offense can put the defense into some problematic spots. Like if you're going three and out every single time, the defense gets tired, you stall out, first and 10 at your own 10-yard line, you don't get a first down, you punt it, bad punt, and the other offense is getting the ball at the 50. So like, to pull the numbers and look at this, I think with a margin that tight, I think it's pretty much a wash. Like it's a 7-point difference when you're looking at nine games. So I think that the game flow and the game script and complimentary football and all of that, I think it's pretty much a tie. Now, I do think it's fair to criticize and give D'Amico Ryans the same amount of criticism and grief that people are getting Bobby Slowick. Like, Bobby Slowick can't adjust. He can't, get away from the game plan. He can't take what the defense is giving him, all of these things. If you're going to say that about Bobby, you also have to say that about D'Amico Ryans.
No, I think it's fair. I think that it's still justified to give Slowick all the heat you want to give him about not making the in-game adjustments and basically not being able to score touchdowns in the second half or do anything. And also not moving the pocket and doing things to create at least a more conducive environment for success for CJ with the offensive line being so bad. But I think it's also fair to make sure that D'Amico gets part of the blame if that is indeed the numbers and the fact that the defense, as good as they've been for the team overall, that in the second half they have been right there giving up points to make teams stay in games and give more competitive outcomes to the Texans.
Bear Brothers says Slowick, his only responsibility is the offense and not overlooking all aspects of the team. Are you giving D'Amico that pass, though? Like, should we be giving D'Amico that pass? I don't think so. I don't think you should be giving D'Amico a pass when he's been worse points first half, second half than Slowick has, just because he's the head coach. I feel like you're letting D'Amico off the hook there, Bear Brother.
Then stop calling plays on defense. If the coaching priorities are too much for you, I don't give him a pass for that, because he signed up for that. He said, I'm going to have a defensive coordinator in Burke, but I'm going to be the guy calling the plays and I can handle both. As long as he's responsible for handling both, then he should own up to failure on either side. And in this case, from a defensive side, he has to own that.
Alex says, bring back Kubiak. I wouldn't hate that. I think Kubiak with C.J. Stroud would be dynamic.
Have some fun with it.
A little of the play action stuff. Mixon is his running back. That would be, and Nico is his top receiver. I don't hate the idea there. Now, he hadn't been an OC in a while. His son might be available after the end of the year, because he's
the Saints,
on that falling ship in New Orleans.
Yep.
First year OC. Poor guy. First year OC, and then, I mean, I guess he's not a poor guy, making plenty of money, but whatever. 713-780-ESPN. John Alexander does this mailbag on Houston Chronicle, and he was asked a question about when's Christian Harris going to come back. John Alexander said he expects to see Christian Harris back until week 15.
What
which
the hell
it's
is
after
that?
The bye. The week 15 game, I looked it up, is December 15th. So it's a very weird date to throw out as the game that Christian Harris is going to come back. So there's like two things here. One is, what in the world happened to his calf? And then secondly, I don't trust like return to plays that are 6 weeks away.
We talked about the last time when he was eligible to come off that he didn't come off, that this may be telling us that it might be a season ender. But when you go back and think about it, if we were talking about Christian Harris being on the opening day roster or not, and what was the severity going to be like, and at the very worst, that he would sit out the first four games, but he'd be ready for the long haul. If he doesn't play till December 15th, what in the actual hell happened to his calf, and how did we get here? Because that, I don't know that you pull it, tear it, do whatever. The fact that you're going to miss almost the entire season because of your calf, and they never told us that it was any, they gave no indication it was going to be that serious. Like, what did we do as Houston sports fans to be blessed with Kyle Tucker's shin and Christian Harris's calf muscle?
It feels very Luis Garcia, Lance McCullers-y to me. Because, like, remember that day he came to practice at training camp? And, like, he was just moving around, doing very
normal. It
wasn't
even before they started practice.
He was, like, stretching and jogging.
Yeah.
Like, how does he go from having an injured calf to re-aggravating it when he was stretching and jogging, and now he's not going to play until week 15? I don't think he's going to play this year.
I don't think he is either.
I really don't.
And I think, thankfully, you've got linebackers that have played fairly well in his absence. But overall, this is not what you signed up for or expected. When we saw what we saw of Christian Harris in the playoffs last year, we're like, he's going to have a breakout season. And so when you heard the calf muscle, you're like, oh, that sucks. But, hey, it'll be a couple of weeks. We'll get him back. He's going to be a part of the defense for the long haul. It's going to be fantastic. Now we're talking about potentially him not playing at all this season.
I thought he had a chance to be a top 15 linebacker this year.
What kind of pillow did he sleep on?
Do you put the pillow on your calf?
I mean,
an exploding pillow, I guess.
Sleeping on a pillow give you Tommy John surgery?
It's so weird. Like
how the hell did we get here with some of these medical diagnoses?
Because even if you go like new injury for whenever it happened in training camp, that was probably before they even played a preseason game, right? Like maybe a month before the start of the year.
Absolutely.
So if he's returning in week 15, like that's about 4 months. Like that's 5 months after re-aggravating an injury in training camp.
From the time it happened to the time he actually plays. Yeah, we're talking about months and months and months of significant time.
That 4 to 5 months.
On a pulled calf?
Yeah. Like, what? Do calf strains last 4 to 5 months?
Not that I've ever heard of.
Right. That's like a two-month injury at
worst.
Even
when you tear it, I don't think it lasts that long.
No. Like, it's kind of like, is it an Achilles?
Because a tear is a severe pull of a calf muscle.
Like, Christian McCaffrey's got these, like, bad Achilles. He's playing this week more than likely.
Yep.
I don't get it.
So we should have sent Christian Harris over to Germany like Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah.
Should have sent Kyle Tucker during the year on that same plane or a different plane, but get him to the same people because it might have helped him come back sooner.
It's bizarre. A mild calf strain, 2 to 4 weeks. Moderate calf strain, 4 to 8. Severe, 8 to 12.
So we're talking severe for sure.
So it's like severe plus a moderate.
Plus, yeah.
It's a grade 5.
They're just flat out lying to us about what the injury was.
But he's like on the sideline. And if he's on the sideline, he probably didn't have a torn Achilles. And if they're reporting that he's going to be back at week 15.
If he's going to be back,
what is
by
the injury?
If he is back by week 15, then there's no way he tore his Achilles.
No.
Like, yeah, it would just be.
And he
that
wouldn't
it would
be on the sideline either.
I haven't seen him on the sideline. You saw him on the sideline?
Yeah, they've shown
him.
Okay.
The severity of a pulled calf muscle still doesn't seem like it should be 4 or 5 months.
Unless he kept trying to ramp it up a little bit too early and re-aggravated it more than once.
So it's a re-aggravation since training camp.
I'm guessing that's what it is. I mean, it has to be what it is.
That's what I believe was reported, that from the initial time when he was stretching, he was ready to come back, and then he re-aggravated it. It was that the reporters that were there said, what was he doing to put the kind of strain on his calf to re-aggravate it if he was just stretching?
It's weird, man. It's very, very weird.
Yeah, should not have taken this long.
Join us November 11th for 6 to 9 for the tailgate presented by Verizon. The tailgate, celebration of Houston sports and the fans that cheer them on. You'll savor sports-inspired bites from top Houston restaurants, including Big City Wings, Loro, Pizarro's Pizza, and Uchi, and many, many more. Plus, sip on premium cocktails, bid on memorabilia, and enjoy plenty of game day fun. Upgrade to VIP to meet and greet Texans legends Brian Cushing and Travis Johnson, courtesy of Verizon. Tickets include all food, all drinks, great time. You're going to love it. I love it. Get yours now at tailgate.culturemap.com, tailgate.culturemap.com. Use promo code ESPN for $10 off any ticket type. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The ball's coming through.
You prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
I'm going to nominate Kevin Costner for my car wreck of the day. I didn't realize he wasn't in the final season of Yellowstone, which starts Sunday.
There was a series like Western movies, which I saw because it came out like right after the hurricane.
He's only released one of them.
Right. So like American Saga something. He's only the first part has come out. It was a terrible movie. It was like 3.5 hours, but there's supposed to be like 3-4 more.
And he was saying that he produced it himself, mortgaged
like stars in it, yeah.
Sold a lot of his used his savings and everything.
Michael Carroll popped in and says, called Horizon like an American Saga. It was a horrible movie.
See, I thought I knew that he wasn't returning, but I thought that they like made up.
I don't think he left because of his spat.
He left to do those movies.
Yeah, but I thought that it got settled and they figured it out. And he was going to come back and do it.
That's my knowledge.
I was wrong. I just looked it up, but I was mistaken. Mm. That's why I'm nominating Kevin Costner. How dare you leave Yellowstone, which I do think slightly overrated, but it's still very good.
Okay.
I don't like people. Oh, it's the best show ever. It's not the best show ever. It's probably
second
tier.
Have you watched the companion shows? Like all those, like, 1898, like,
yeah, I'm not.
Whatever.
That's too much, man.
Yeah, I know. I didn't think it needed all the spinoffs.
Soccer Matters coming up after us. Glenn Davis will have you covered with Liga MX, UEFA Champions League, Neymar news. Love me some Neymar news, and then more Dynamo talk. I'm still ticked off at Hector Herrera. All right, what's your car wreck of the day, Blinkers?
The car wreck of the day for me is still the Cleveland Browns saga with Deshaun Watson because it just keeps getting better. It's a car wreck, but for us Texans fans, it's fun to watch. Andrew Berry, the GM of the Browns, did a press conference today and basically was non-committal about Deshaun Watson when asked about him starting in the future and all things. First and foremost, his priority was that Deshaun just gets healthy again, to get back from the Achilles, and he's able to walk again.
Sounds like you don't buy that, Joel.
And no, not at all. And then later, when he was pressed, it was a possibility for Watson to return to the Browns as a starting quarterback at some point. He said, it's always possible.
Yeah.
Anything's possible.
You know who loves himself some Deshaun Watson news?
Deshaun Watson?
Mike Florio. Mike Florio cannot get enough of the Deshaun Watson saga.
Really?
Yeah, he's always writing little stories about it. He's a clickbaiter, that Mike Florio.
He really is.
He's
built a career
huge clickbaiter. I'm going to nominate the college football rankings for playing to the stars. They got too caught up in name value, cachet, and I think it's problematic for what's to come with this college football committee. They are driven by the stars. I don't like it.
You're
only
driven
fair.
By Big 12 pride.
We're just here for week one of the first ever. And you're already.
Wow. This is kind of my shtick. Blame the rankings and blame the committees.
Sticking up for the BYU Cougars. I see what's going on here.
Absolutely, I like my college football players in their mid-20s. Right.
My car wreck of the day. I think I did a scheduling thing yesterday as well. But the Rockets play the Spurs tonight for the fourth and final time on November 6th. Like I get the idea. When you have these West Coast or East Coast teams, maybe you play the back-to-back to limit or back-to-back games in the same location to limit the travel. But it's a 3-hour drive to San Antonio, and they're completely done with the in-division rivalry on November 6th.
Yeah, I think they only played 3 times this year because of the quirk in the schedule. But regardless, the fact that you play all 3 games within a 3-week period of time or less, and 2 of them were within 3 days, when they used to be division rivals, it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. You should space them out.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Space them out when they're in division.
Teams make trades. They have injuries. You want to see, like, what if Wemby was out for all those? Or there was, you know, and people want to see those games.
Yeah.
And by the way, Sochan, don't ever say F Houston again because karma's a bitch.
Sochan broke his finger?
He's out.
Somebody send me a picture of that. So it was legit?
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was fake news.
Which one of us broke it? Hugh and Houston broke his finger.
Might have been hard.
If he didn't, Stephen Adams would have broken it tonight.
They might fight tonight.
I'd like to see
they
it.
Don't
well,
like
no, he's
each
out,
other.
Though.
No, I'm not saying Sochan. I'm saying the Rockets and the Spurs.
I'd love to
You're
see
You're saying Sochan's the instigator? He'd be the most likely.
Yeah, he is like the Dennis Rodman type.
Yeah. Who's winning? Car wreck of the day. Your guy?
Andrew Berry and the Browns?
Yeah.
Sure.
You want to do
he
that?
Followed
yeah,
up by we saying, Berry Deshaun Watson. I'm
Andrew
that.
Berry Deshaun Watson.
Here's the there final of it. They asked him if he was ready to admit it was a bad trade. He said, I'm not in reflection mode.
Smart answer.
Because it was on you, bro.
That's a really good answer. All right, does it for us. Thank you to Brian for the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. Talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Hall of Fame coming up at 7. Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters right now on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.